Hi, guys. All right. How are you guys doing?
Fine.
You're good? You're good. I don't have whiteboard markers. I don't have an eraser. Thank you very much. Good to see you guys. All righty. So we'll get right into it. We're doing part two of life investment. Yeah, life investment. Part two of that. All right, you guys, do you have your handouts? All right, great. Use them. Okay, so not last week, but the other week. Okay, I have my posture. Okay, so the other week we were looking at biblical rules for investing. And today we're going to look at time investments. So investing our time. Now, time is the most prized and valuable commodity we could ever have in this life. And the reality, though, is that we use our time poorly. How many of you have ever wasted time in your life? Just wasted time. Huh? Just wasted. Wasted time, you know? Like, the other day, I told myself that I would be on Instagram for like just 30 minutes. Ah, what a waste of my time, you know? And I stopped like, you know, an hour later, I'm like, what have I been doing? I'm just looking at people's pictures, wondering, tagging the, you know, there was nothing. So yeah, you know, we've all in this room at some point wasted time. But the fact of the matter is, because it is the most valuable commodity we have in life, we need to use it wisely. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you're like, I don't have enough time? How many of you have used that statement before? I just don't have enough time, okay? Or, I wasn't able to do that because I ran out of time. Anybody used that phrase before? I know I have. I didn't finish my assignment because I ran out of time. Actually, you just didn't plan properly. Or, you know, how many of you guys have ever panicked in an exam because, yeah, you know, it's like, I actually never experienced that. You know, I was one of those people who like, no, really. Even when I was at UNSA. Because, you know, like at UNSA, they put you so to make sure that you don't, I feel like I have feedback. But to make sure that you don't, thank you. You guys give them a hand. Thank you. All right. So at UNSA, we would like, when you're writing your exams, they'll put you in the, most of my exams I wrote in this portal. And then to make sure that you don't cheat, there'll be like a single row and it's just us who are like writing biology. Then the next people are like doing history. And these other ones are like, you know, economic students, right? So, obviously, I'm not looking at my neighbor, you know? But, like, you know, the history students, they always had things to write. Writing and write. I'm like, but I, you know, like, an exam, for me, I always thought, like, an exam, those of you at UNSA, how many hours is an exam? I can't remember, it's been so long. 3 hours? 3 hours, eh? Like, in the hour and a half, I'm done. I'm just done. And the next hour, 30 minutes, I'm just looking around, wondering what I'm going to do with my life. You know, it's just, I never actually struggled. But I have seen people who, like, the examiner is saying, people like Lukunda, I'm sure. The examiner is saying, you know, 30 minutes, and they're asking for another booklet. I'm like, in my entire 4 years at UNSA, it was only one exam, and I think it was biochemistry because I was drawing a lot of things, that I even got to half the booklet. Like, I went past half. I always wrote my entire exam. I managed to, if it was a question, it was a one page or a page and a half. That's what I ever did. Like, So how I made it. So if I can do it, you can make it too, trust me. So anyway, so we've all had moments where we're panicking, we're running out of time. And then there are times where we're doing things and like, I can save time if I do this. All right? Now we're going to look at realities because those statements are actually not accurate. And we're going to look at that, okay? So let's look at some facts about time. Number one, we all have the same amount of time. We all have 24 hours in a day. 24 hours in a day. We all have the same amount of time. Most of you, you spend 12 hours sleeping. Well, that's when you're on holiday, right? At least 12 hours sleeping. 10 hours watching TV and eating. Watching TV, eating, texting, I don't know what other things, complaining that you are bored but not doing anything. So this is what, 20 hours, huh? Oh, thank you. Not only can't I spell, I also can't add. And then there's the 2 hours. This is not chilling. Oh, wow. Okay. Chilling. Wow. All right? Okay. All right. So the reality is we all have 24 hours. There is no one on this earth who, you know, everyone else has 24 hours and you have like 26. No, there's nothing like that. Or there is no one who's like, you know, everyone has 24 and then you have 18. It may feel like that, but we all have the same amount of time. So you can ask yourself the question, why is it that others get ahead in life compared to me, you know? Or, you know, how come they're doing better than I am? It's because they're using their time wisely. Let's look at Proverbs 6, 6 to 11. Lord, we thank you for a new building where we will not struggle. Now we're wondering what is that they're watching. But anyway. All right. So, oh my, yeah. The shade though. Yay. The shade. It's dark in here all of a sudden. Ouch. Okay. I'm going to tell them, by the way. All right. So Proverbs 6 to 11 says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, or ruler. Yet it stores up its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. So you sleep too much, poverty will overcome you. Okay, so the reason people are successful, we look at the ant because, we use the ant as an example, because it uses its time wisely. You're here, most of you are in school, whether it's high school or college or university. And a friend of mine today was upset with her husband because they were supposed to have left early so she could do her assignment. And I'm like, but don't get upset because you should have started your assignment like 3 weeks ago. But you are gunning now, you know, like at UNSA. I don't know if it's the same area, you know. You are just a gunner where you wait for the last minute to do stuff. How many of you are last minute people? Just be honest. May the Lord deliver you after this. All right. So, we've established the first fact that we all have the same amount of time. The second fact is this. Time cannot be stored or saved. You cannot store time, you cannot save it, okay? So in here, I have a jar with watches, okay? I have a jar with watches, all right? Yeah. So you can't store time, you can't like put time in here and then freeze it and then be on something like, oh, I need some time, okay, let me just open my jar which I close very tightly. And you know, let me just get some time out and, you know, turn it on and start applying time. Time doesn't work like that. Or, oh my gosh, things are not working well. I just need to pause my time, put it in my jar, and then I'll regroup and focus. There's nothing like that. Every second is moving, okay? So, we cannot store time, we can't save it, okay? You can't be on some like, no, I'll just put time away for a rainy day. There's nothing like that, all right? The third fact is this. You must invest in it as you receive it. So, how many of you guys have heard the phrase, time is money? Time is money. All right, can I have a volunteer? Anybody? I need a volunteer. Come. The first person to come. Okay. All right. So, I have... First of all, let me... You guys, just buy me an iPhone. And I only want... Oh, if you're an iPhone, what's the new Samsung? It's what? Somebody. It's just for the camera, really. All right. So... let's put the timer. Okay, so, reset. How do you reset these things? Stop, reset. Don't judge me. You guys, I can't reset this thing. Okay, I got it. All right, okay. So, I've given our tortoise 20 kwacha worth of 1 kwacha coins, okay? Just wait. So, you have 1 minute starting now to give 1 kwacha to each person randomly, okay? All right? You have 1, okay? Okay. 1, 2, 3, go! So, come on! You need to... Come on, I think you're being biased, though. Come on. You're running out of time. How fast can you get rid of it? Are you done? All right. Thank you very much. You were a great volunteer. Rosie, give her a hand. All right. So she gave away. Now, she gave away the coins in like 30 seconds, which is okay. Now, just so you guys know, whoever received the 1 kwacha, you cannot keep it. You have to give it to someone else. It doesn't necessarily have to be someone. It doesn't necessarily. All right. Now, just wait. You've already given away your coins. Because if you're still in this building, if you're still in this building and you received, you still have to pass it along to someone who is not in this building, who doesn't come to this church, and who is not your relative. So whether you're going to bless the wonderful bus conductor with an extra 1 kwacha, yay! Or, you know, the point is you need to pass that 1 kwacha to someone. And I'm trying, yes, they can use it, but listen to this. No, but it can't be someone in this room, so you need to pass it on, okay? Now, you need to invest. So, the same way I have asked you guys to invest your, because I've invested a whole 20 kwacha and spread it around the room. You have a point, and I did my best, and I'm sorry that you know. But somewhere in this room, that 20 kwacha went somewhere. Well, the point is, you also have to invest that in some. The same way you can choose to decide how you invest your money is the same way you can choose how you invest your time. You can choose that. In fact, let's turn to Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 to 8.
And it reads, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace." What is the Bible saying? Now, obviously, as a believer, there really is no time to hate because Jesus Christ has called us to love even our enemies. But the principle of this scripture is the fact that there is a time for everything. And again, you guys are responsible for investing every single minute of your time. You need to decide. Because remember, I started by saying that time is a very precious commodity. 2 Peter 3 verse 8 says this, "Beloved, do not be ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So obviously, God is not bound in time, but you and I are bound in time. And so we need to be very wise with how we use our time. So I've talked about three facts. Now let's look at steps on how we can invest our time wisely. Number one, we need to establish a value system. The greater the value, the more time we'll commit to something. Isn't that true? So the greater value I attach to something, the more time we'll invest. All right, so I want to show you something. So how do you determine how valuable something is? Now, I'll tell you this. For me, TV is not like... I mean, I can go... In fact, the only times I get to watch TV is on Sunday afternoon when I go to see my parents. That's the only time I watch TV. You know, I can read my whole life and not, like, it's okay, you know. It's like TV. Some of you, though, TV is like right now, you've already even recorded all your things, you are set, okay? But how do we determine the value of time? Okay, so, I have 100 kwacha here. Okay? I have 100 kwacha here. I've already seen your eyes, they're just like... Give me. Why do you want this 100 kwacha? Because it has? Yeah, I mean, you can buy like, I don't know, what would you buy in 100 kwacha? Pizza. So you value food. Anyone else? Huh? For transport, okay. Huh? Save it. Soche pack. Chocolate, huh? You would spend 100 kwacha on lollipops. Okay. Anyone else? All right. So, helping people in need, okay? So, we all have different value systems for this 100 kwacha. Now, if I ask someone to come and step across this line for this 100 kwacha, nothing racial about that. I just ask, if I ask someone to come up and cross the line for 100 kwacha, well, you know, he just took the initiative. Anyway, the point is, you will step up. Trust me, he's giving me back that 100 kwacha. All right, now, but I'm trying to get a point across.
You will do something for something you value, right? Now let's flip it across. If let's say I don't know how many meters this is. I didn't measure it. Okay, in about a meter maybe. Okay, so if someone asks you and say, I'll put this pole in between two drums, right? And you have to walk across this pole to save the life of your, let's say, your mom, your dad, or your siblings. Well, maybe not your siblings, some of you. But, you know, your parents or something. Because we place value on it, most of us would walk across. It'll be hard to balance. It's not very strong. It might break. You might hurt yourself. But you're like, I'll probably walk across. Why will you do that? Because you value the people attached to the task. So the same way, you guys need to take time and establish value for your time. You need to realize how valuable is my time. The same way we don't put a price tag on human. No one puts a price tag on human life. We always say human life is priceless. Your time is priceless. How you invest your time is priceless. And so we need to, just as people are eternal, time needs to be valuable to us. And so what we value, basically what I'm saying is, what we value, what we spend time on is what we value. Now here's the thing. If you don't establish a value system on your time, people will establish a value system on your time. If you don't establish, so for example, you yourself know your grades. You yourself know your parents. You yourself know your capacity and ability. So for you, if you don't invest time, your friends will make a plan for you. Life will make a plan for you. Your parents will make a plan for you. But you know how valuable your time is. So you need to make a plan for yourself. Okay? You need to make a plan for yourself. A lot of us in this room, how many of us began the year and there's some things we wanted to achieve? You know, we had some goals. Anybody? Goals? You started the year, you had some goals. How are you doing with your goals? March. It's wild, eh? It's wild, huh? What's your biggest challenge in accomplishing your goals this year? Time management, huh? Money, okay, others it's money. But for most of us, if we really are honest, it's because we are making poor investments when it comes to our time. I'm a culprit. I told myself this year by March month end, I should have lost 20 kilos. let's not even talk about my weight loss. It's just... it's bad. I think maybe I've lost like 3 kgs. So, you know. I have how many? 17 more to go, eh? So it's a start. No, but I had a goal. But you know what I've been telling myself? No, I don't have time. I'm busy. I'm tired. Shiny. But the fact of the matter is I have not been investing my time well. What does that say about me? I have not placed value on my weight loss. Because, for example, I come for work, I report for work at 6:30. What are they watching me say? Oh, okay, all right. We apologize for the recording, we're just very curious. Okay, cool. All right. So, I report for work, I have to be in the office at 6:30, from Monday to Thursday. And, yeah, 6:30, eh? And it's not easy. But you know what? I value the responsibility I've been given. And so even on the days where I don't want to wake up and I just want to lay in bed the whole day and not do anything, I wake up because I placed value on that. I value what is attached with me arriving for work at that time. And so think about your life right now. I want you to process. You've talked about how you started the year, you had goals and everything. But the fact of the matter is, do you really place value on those things? Okay? Matthew 18, 12 to 14 says this. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. So we're talking about time and how time is valuable. But you know what's more valuable than time? Relationships. If you think about, now I've heard this mentioned, oh, I didn't know this wasn't up. I'm so sorry. I didn't know. Okay. So you've heard it. You know what? It's okay. At this point, we're almost done anyway. Almost done. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, you guys. I didn't even know that the prop was not with me. All right. So when you've heard stories of rich people on their deathbeds, then they ask, you know, okay, so you've lived this life, you're dying, and you know what's the most important thing that you think? A lot of them talk about how the most important thing to them was relationship. Was the time they spent with their family, those that mattered in their life. So, for example, you know, your parents get frustrated with the fact that, you know, maybe you spend a lot of time on your phone, TV. What other things do the parents complain about? Video games. Going out a lot. You're never home. Parents are so weird, eh, though? Because, like, you know, like my dad, right? When I would go, like, I would leave home, go visit my friends, and then he would call, "Where are you?" "Oh, I'm visiting my friend." "You're always at your friend's house." Okay, so I thought, okay, fine, let me stay home. He'll call, "Where are you?" "I'm at home." "You never leave the house." "What do you want?" You know? But it's okay. We love you, Uncle Kelvin, as the representative of all parents in this nation and the world at large. Yeah. So they complain and stress about the fact that you're spending a lot of time with these things. And, you know, sometimes it seems like they're just complaining. But the reality is because what you're spending time on your phone and with your friends and video games and TV, that communicates to them that you value this activity more than you value them. Now, in reality, it seems to you, "No, I don't. No, I mean, you're my mother. Of course I love you and I value you." But what we invest our time in communicates to everyone else that I value this more than anything else. So, what are you spending your time on? Now think about it, this guys. Most of you in here, you are Christians, right? Oh, yeah. I don't want to assume for you. All right? Most of us, and you know here, we just read the scripture in Matthew 18 about Jesus. What did he value most? He valued the sheep. And his primary value was on the fact that not one of these should get lost. But why is it that Christians, we don't minister the gospel. We don't witness. In fact, most of us in this room, we don't want people to ask us about our faith. When people ask you, "Yeah, Christian," like, yeah. Anyway, so did you watch the Arsenal game? Whoever watches the Arsenal game. Anyway, you know. But the God of Arsenal fans is the God of all. Yeah, anyway. He loves his children, even in their lostness. So anyway, most of us in this room, we shrink back. We're not, and your silence kind of gives you away because it's probably the truth. If people come to you and ask you, are you a Christian? Or where were you? You know, you go for camp and you're like, where were you? We didn't see you for 5 days. Oh, no, I just went for a camp at church. Oh, okay. How was it? It was okay. What did they talk about? Anyway, how have you been? You know, I was catching up on my newsfeed. You know, and yet as a Christian, your responsibility, remember, God, Jesus desires, he does not want a single one of his sheep to perish. Which means if you have had access to the gospel and the teaching of the word, your responsibility is to bring others into the sheepfold. But why do we shrink back? Why do we shrink back? Why do we shrink back from teaching the gospel? So are we saying, we're saying stopping people from going to hell is not valuable enough. That's what we're saying. That it's okay. Let people go to hell. Let my cousin go to hell. You know for a fact that your neighbor does not know Jesus Christ. And not once have you ever talked to them about Jesus. Hey, what's up, man? What's up? You good? Huh? Yeah, okay. Hey, what's up? Hey, good. Yeah, okay. Hey, what's up? Hey, okay. Oh, where are you going? Oh, I'm just going to Impact. Oh, okay. Not once have you ever invited your friend. And you know that they don't know Jesus. So basically what you're saying is, you're okay with them going to hell. Because if they die today, they are going to hell. That's what we're saying. Some of us live in homes where our parents work, and they work very hard. They work hard. They leave in the morning before you wake up, come back when you're asleep. You hardly ever see them. They're traveling all over the place. And if you're going to be very, very honest, their actions, in as much as they have said to you, I work hard so that I can provide you for, you know, I can pay for your school, buy you the clothes, that same phone you're asking for, how do you think I get the money for that? You know, we hear that, and those are valid reasons. But if we're being very honest, sometimes we think and look at our parents and say, you know what? You value your work more than you value me. Anyone in this room able to actually say that? Because I've felt like that before. My dad's a workaholic. My father can work, you know, Sunday to Sunday. And I was like, I never see this man, you know? I mean, at some point, he didn't even know my age. No wonder I told him, I was like, no, I think I had turned 20-something. No, I turned 25, and he was feeling out of form. And I'm like, oh, I've turned 20. How old are you? I was like, oh, I'm 25. Then he looked at me and said, what do you mean you're 25? You're not 18. I'm like, whoa, wow. That was many years ago, you know? But if we're very honest, most of us in this room have felt that way. Where my parents value something else more than me. Or we have siblings and it feels to us that our parents value our siblings more than they. You know, they go more to your sister's activities, they do stuff, they take her, you, they leave you, by the way, you know. It's like they're leaving the house. Oh, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to the shops. No one asked me. And truth be told, that sucks. It really, really does. But think about it on your end. What are things that you have said or done? You've been asked to do something, and you are just like, it communicates to those who love us that I do not value you. I don't value you. And it's the same thing with our relationship with God. We've talked about it, about how prayer is very important. Reading your Bible is important. Communion and fellowshipping with God is important. Worshipping God. You guys, during praise and worship, so today I happened to be by your section. I couldn't believe it. You were just standing like this. What was the song? What was the second song today? Okay, yeah, and you know, you came to my rescue, and people are just like standing there. And I'm thinking, do we value our relationship with God? Because when I worship God, you see, again, I'm not trying to get us religious and like, okay, you know, we know you're worshiping God when you lift up holy hands. That's not what I'm talking about. But you can tell when people are disengaged. They're just standing there passing time, waiting for praise and worship to be done. But the point is, do you value your relationship with God? Because it's a two-way relationship. It's not one-sided. It's not about just coming to God when you have pressure in your life. How would you feel? How do you feel with that? We all have that one friend. That one friend who only calls, even when your phone rings, you're saying, what? No, please, I need some help. Oh, this has happened. I need you to lie because I told my parents I'm going to your house. But some of you have done that. I told my parents I'm coming to your house, you know, so if they call you, just, you know, cover for me. But how do you feel when the only time this person communicates with you is when they need help? It sucks, because you're like, okay, well, you don't really value me as your friend. I'm just your scapegoat. And yet, every time we disconnect from God, that's what we're saying to God. I don't value you, God. I just need you when things are hard. That's what we're saying to God. So how do we value our time? So, I want to challenge you guys with something, okay? This week, I want you guys to take time and just chart out so you have 24 hours. When you go home today, 24 hours, huh? This week, don't plan anything. Just observe your day. So Monday, write a log. Monday, I woke up at 6. Whatever time you wake up. You woke up at 5, right, some of you? I don't know. I woke up at 6. At 7, I was still in bed. Look at my Facebook. At 8, I was still in bed. Or if you're going to school, I woke up. I was at school by 7:30. I don't know what time you dropped off. At 8, I was looking at my teacher and wondering why they're talking. What time is break time? 10:30? 10:30? Okay. So, at 10 hours, I was counting down to break time so I can go talk to that girl. At 10:30, I made the beeline for the tuck shop so I could buy her something. At 12, I was daydreaming about talking to her because she responded. All I'm asking is, for the next week, starting tomorrow, up until Saturday, if you really want to become someone who is successful in life, I challenge you, catalog your time. And then on Saturday evening, take time and see. So based on everything that I've said about what does it say about what I value in my life? Do I value social media? Do I value the opinion of others? Do I value relationship? Do I value my time with God? What does that say? Because when you know what you value, you'll be able to make adjustments that you need to make. Can I challenge you guys to do that? Can I actually challenge you to do it? And look, for those who actually do it, I can guarantee you, this will be the first step to your success in life. For those of you who won't do it, well, you know, God redeems the time. We'll try again some other time. Because God is merciful. But I challenge you guys to catalog your time. Number two, avoid distractions. Avoid distractions. Avoid distractions. Limit your time, you know. If you know, so for example, I do this, I know when I'm getting into my private prayer time with God, I turn off my phone. Because I know, if I see that message, if I see that WhatsApp message, I'm going to respond and it's a slippery slope from there. So try and stay on task, okay? Number three, we need to tithe our time as well. Isn't that interesting?
Tithe your time. The same way we tithe our money. We give 10% and then the remaining 90%. Now listen to this. Tithing our time and saying 10% of my time in a day, I give to the Lord. Why? Because when I tithe that 10%, I am productive in the remaining 90%. Because remember I talked about it in New Sunday, how we prepare for battle is important. So when I take time to begin my day, and all of you in this room, you know how to pray. Most of you in this room, you speak in tongues. We've talked about how we can study the word. Most of you, if you've been to at least one youth camp, you've been given tools. You already know. Apply that time. Because again, for you to prosper, you need to go to the Maker. He knows. He knows how your day is going to be. He will guide you and order your steps. Okay? So you want to be able to do that. Number four. Make good decisions to invest your time. Now, we can be talking about time and you must invest your time, but you guys need to make those decisions. So you need to decide. This is how I will spend my time. And why? Because I value getting straight A's at the end of the term. That's what I value. Or I value investing time in my relationship. Or I value preaching the gospel. Whatever it is, you need to make good decisions yourself. Okay? So, good decisions also means being able to say no. Say no. Say no to your friends. You don't need to chill every weekend. Say no. Think about it. Say no. I was listening to a man. I had shared this on a group that, because someone had passed it on to me. And I'll end with this. This man was talking about success, in the South African man, success in the business world and whatnot and whatnot. And he said something. He says, I'm successful because I know how I use my time. I don't go for every party and every invitation. He's a very rich man, actually. He says, I don't go around for every party, every invitation, every turn up. No, I'm not there. You know what I'm doing? Because I'm too busy investing my time in what matters the most. I'm too busy. I'm investing my time in what matters the most so I can get to where I want to be in life. Passing in school just doesn't happen. You need to invest your time. Growing your relationships with your family and your friends means you need to invest your time. And there are certain relationships you guys should even be investing in anyway. Binging on a TV show. First of all, those people you watch on a TV show, they already have money, huh? They already have money. So while you go and download season 1 to season 10 and decide I'm going to watch everything, they've made their money. They've made their money. Black Panther, which I still haven't seen. I don't know. What is it? What's the gross what? Over $1 billion. Now, can you think about that director? He wasn't going around just, you know, chilling, Facebook, WhatsApp. No. He was working. He was working. And now he has a movie that has grossed over $1 billion. In fact, the money he went to pay for the movie, you just added to his business. Let's get our priorities. Let's invest our time wisely, you guys. And I say these things because you can think about, oh, somebody, but we've come to church and whatever. The point is that Christianity, the gospel, is practical. Jesus talks about being wise and investing your time so you can be successful. Don't buy into the lie of the world that you just have to wake up one morning. Let me tell you another thing. These people are on Instagram, huh? Who are always flashing things. Do you know companies endorse them? They sponsor them, exactly. They can't afford half of the things they are wearing. Someone just gave them. And then you say, like. Love it, comment, whatever.
instead of being that young African man or woman who is sitting there and saying, how can I innovate science and technology in my country? How can I innovate music and entertainment in my country? How can I innovate education? How can I innovate healthcare in my country so that one day it is my name? One day it is me there calling so I can tell my story. I saw this image on Facebook, which was so true. It was so true. And for some reason, I just thought about, you know, us as Zambians, our culture. It talked about how there was two individuals. And it says, rich man versus poor man. And the rich man was just wearing shoes, a trousers, and a t-shirt. The poor man, he had a watch worth $1,000, a hat. And I was like, but that is so true. You guys, I implore you, allow God to renew your mind so you can actually see the reality of success. Because 90% of the people you see on social media, that is not real. Because the rich, successful people who are changing the world, they don't have time to take a selfie. They are going, they have no time to stop and say, they don't have the time. They don't have the time. They are going places, they've got things to do. So how are you investing your time? You're thinking, oh, right now, I just have my parents' home. But it starts now. If you don't know how to invest your time now, you will struggle when you go to university. You will struggle when you have a job. You will struggle when you have a family. If you don't know how to invest your money now, you will struggle when you get where you need to get to. So begin now. Start now. Start now. And I pray by the Holy Spirit that this word will take root in your heart. Because you know what, you guys? I believe in this generation. I'm really tired. I'm really tired of the rhetoric of Africa. I'm tired of the rhetoric of Zambians. I'm tired. You guys are the ones who are going to change. The fact that we're not corrupt. We're not a corrupt nation, but you guys change it. You guys change it. We're not a third world country. What's that? That's not who we are. You guys change. You change the rhetoric of what even is perceived as a black person. You guys are the ones who change it, because in the kingdom there is no black and white. We're all children of God. The same brain that, who's this one who passed away recently? The same brain that he has, you have. It's just a capacity to develop it. Really, it is. It's the same. You can't use the excuse of, oh, I was born in Ngombe. That is not an excuse. It's not an excuse. In fact, for me, I like to see life as if you are born in a challenging home environment, that's just an opportunity for you to let God do magnificent things in your life. Guys, change the story. Change the narrative. And it's up to you. Here, right now, change it. Me, I haven't really arrived in life, but, you know, there's only much I can really do. I work at a church. I get to see you guys. You guys, every single day, you go into the world. You get opportunities to love people. Change it. Change it. Challenge your friends. It's not about turning up all the time. Huh? It's about living a legacy. Change it. We complain about the roads in Lusaka. Lord, may He raise up someone in this country where the roads don't have potholes. Where even when it's raining, even no power is going. That's not okay, you guys. That's not okay. Change the rhetoric, you guys. Change it. And it starts with, how do you invest your time? Let's pray. Okay.
Lord, you said in your word that Apollos planted, Paul watered, but it was you that made it grow. And I pray, Father, that by the Spirit of the living God, you would help this truth about time and how valuable it is and how important it is to our lives, that, Father, you would help that truth grow in our hearts and in our lives. That, Lord, you would inspire this generation to make great exploits, Lord. Each one in this room, it doesn't matter where they've come from, their background, it doesn't matter, because at the cross, everything is level ground. And so I pray, Father, that you would inspire us to be a generation that takes a step, Lord, to invest our time wisely. Now, there, as I'm talking about investing our time, there is something that is of great importance. Every eye closed, no one looking, please. There is something that is of great importance and paramount value to us. And it is us investing in our eternity. And we invest in our eternity by accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Because He loves us. Jesus not only invested His time by coming here on earth, He invested His life for us so that we could be reconciled to the Father. Because He loves us so much. We were so valuable to Him. And if you are here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never taken that step, you've never invested in that relationship, I ask that you raise your hand. Every eye closed, no one looking. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Keep your hand raised until a leader comes to you. You've never invested. Or if you're here and you're saying, look, Sombo, yes, I have taken time. I did ask Jesus to be my personal Lord and Savior, but you know what? I've strayed away, and I want to come home. I want to come home and invest my time and my life in the Father. I want to come back home and learn and value. If you're here and you've never done that before, I ask that you raise your hand. You're saying, I want to come back home like the prodigal son. I made a bad investment, but there's grace available to help me make a good investment. If that's you, just raise your hand. This is the best investment you could ever make in your life. Is there anyone? And finally, if you're here and you're saying, look, I'm just having challenges in my life, my family. There are leaders here who have chosen to invest in you, to impart that godly wisdom that has been made available to them to help you succeed in life. And you want someone to pray with you right now. If you're here, just raise your hand. You're saying, I'm going through a situation in my life and I need someone to pray with me. I need someone to pray with me. Thank you for those hands. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? And finally, I want to give one call before we close today. If you're here and you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of tongues, because one of the ways we get to commune and fellowship with our Father is through prayer. And one of the ways that we get to pray, we pray in our known language, but we also pray in the Holy Spirit. And if you're here and you're saying, I've desired that for my life and I've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of tongues, if you're here, just raise your hand because I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you so that you get filled in the Holy Spirit. Thank you for those hands. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? All right. Father, we thank you for your grace and your wisdom and your power. Thank you for guidance. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So get into your small groups, the few minutes you have. If you, for those who lift up their hands for Holy Spirit baptism, you can stay behind.
just stay behind in the classroom. Everyone else?